I'd like to call your attention to the back of the bulletin this morning about the special account for our new vehicle for our pastors. It's been set up, and you can read the how things are set up in it. And I would just like to be sure that when you give, that you designate on your check or on the envelope that you're giving into the pastor's special car fund so that you can get credit, and it'll go through one, just like when you give through offerings, because that's what it is. And so the account is set up, and we're calling it abundant and full. It'll come in quickly and easily, and it'll be a blessing to our pastors, and it'll be a witness for New Life. And anytime you think about the account, just say, it's abundant and full. It's coming in. And so I would like to just encourage you to read 2 Corinthians 9:6-7. It says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So each one let us give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I think this will be we call all our accounts here abundant and running over. And I'd like to introduce now Brother Tim Cooper. He's going to be ministering this morning. Oh, yes, I get to dismiss the children. Good.
Check. Okay. This is a little different using this one, so when I get excited and I raise my voice and blow your eardrums out, sorry, I do apologize, but I am excited because we're in the house of the Lord this morning. We should be excited. You know, yes, absolutely. We can look at all the distractions. We can look at all the negatives and we can say, well, our pastor isn't here. He's laid up in the hospital. But you know what? Our pastor is here. I can hear, I can almost hear him breathing right now. So, actually, he's probably saying, Tim, what in the world are you doing? But, Pastor, we love you, and we are looking forward to you being back home and being back with us. As I began to prepare this message, I asked the Lord where we were going to go with it, and I started thinking one way, but I went into my bedroom and I closed myself off and I began to pray, and the Lord said, no, that's not how we're going, Tim. That's your way, but here's how we're going to go. How many of us have ever worked for a boss who was a lousy boss? Yeah? Okay, I see a lot of hands. How many have ever worked for a good boss? All right, a lot of us are very blessed. There are some people who, unfortunately, they have never had that opportunity. They've only had bad bosses. They've only had people whose leadership was less than desirable. And they were not the example that we wanted to follow. All right, I've got this microphone I'm trying to get used to. Can you hear it back there good? Iffy? Do you think the other microphone would work better? Just bring it down. Okay, I'm pulling on that thing as far as I can, so I don't know. Is it going to work? All right, we'll try to keep it there. Well, that's probably what it is. I pulled the wire and the ears bring it right back, so what can I say? We're going to go ahead and play with this thing and try to get it to work, but if you have your Bibles with me, I'd like you to go ahead and turn in to the book of Exodus chapter 32. That's where our sermon will be coming from today. We're going to actually read the entire chapter of Exodus chapter 32. It may be a lengthy read, but I believe we'll get something out of it today. I ask for your patience and your attention. At this time, please silence all cell phones, pagers, children, ex-spouses, or anything else that annoys you. Now, we all know the history of Moses as he headed into the desert with all the Israelites. And as my good friend, Rabbi Van Lance, always calls it, the 40-year camping trip. And I want to thank Brother Van and Sister Valerie for being with us all the way from Buffalo. Kentucky, that is, not New York. But we do thank them for coming and joining us today. But we know that there came a time where Moses went up on the mount. And he spent time. He tarried with God. And at that time that he was spending with God, the people became restless. They became, well, they were not under good leadership. Let's just put it that way. They had forgotten the leadership they had before. It's amazing to me how much this particular message, when I began to read it, hit home. All right, now we're really losing it. Can you hear it? Check, no, nothing. Guess what? We're changing over here. I'm not going to play with that thing the whole time. So. Can you hear me now? All right, so we're going to go with this microphone instead. We know that Moses went up and he tarried with God and he spoke to God. And as he did for 40 days, God spoke to him. And then God wrote into tablets of stone the very guidance that he wanted for his people. We, of course, know those as the Ten Commandments. During that little 40-day stay up on the mountaintop, however, as God spoke and the mountaintop was covered with smoke and it rumbled and it shook, the people below stopped looking towards the mountain. The people below stopped looking towards their God. The people below chose a different path, and that's what we're going to look at today. Folks, today, more than ever before, the Church of God, the Christian Church, the Church of Jesus Christ needs leaders. Folks, you are those leaders. We are those leaders. And all we need to do is allow God to work through us to truly be what He wants us to be. We're going to begin reading chapter 32 in the book of Exodus, verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And Aaron said to them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, "This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." Hold it. Time out. Didn't they just say that Moses brought them out? And Moses was following God, right? That pillar of cloud? Yeah, I believe that was the way it worked out. How quick they forget. So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I have commanded them. They have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'This is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them. And I will make of you a great nation. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven. And all this land that I have spoken of, I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other, they were written. Now the tablets were the work of God, and I want you to listen to this, and the writing was the writing of God engraved on the tablets. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. Well, he was mistaken. It was not war at all. But he said, it is not the noise of the shout of victory, nor the noise of the cry of defeat, but the sound of singing I hear. So it was, as soon as he came near the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. Then he took the calf, which they had made. He burned it in the fire and ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel to drink it. And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? So Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord become hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, this man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire. And this calf came out. Wow. That's pretty good. Throw gold into a fire and a calf comes walking out. I believe that's that big circle with a line through it. Not. Didn't happen that way. Now when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, for Aaron had not restrained them, to their shame among the enemies, then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp. And folks, the whole sermon is around this one verse. And he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side and go in and out from the entrance to entrance throughout the camp. And let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day. For every man has opposed his son and his brother. Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have committed a great sin, So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray. Blot out of your book, blot me out of your book, which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now, therefore, go, lead the people to the place which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin. I want to stop right there. We live in a time where there are so many different modes, whether it's television, radio, video. There are so many different modes that constantly bombard us with thoughts that, hey, if it's good for you, it's good for everyone. Do what you want. It's okay. It's okay. After all, shouldn't you be allowed to do whatever feels good to you? What's it say? There's a way which seems right to men, but the path is destruction. Folks, I want to tell you something. We live in a perilous time. We've heard it time and time again. It was the theme for our camp meeting. But I want to tell you something. We will be victorious if we have the proper leadership. Let's face it. Aaron dropped the ball. Aaron was in the camp. He represented God. He was the priest. He dropped the ball. And then he tried to cover it up the way that most of us do. Let me throw this little lie in here. Well, we just threw all the gold in the fire and this calf came out. No, I'm afraid that didn't work. But you know what, folks? When we have the proper leadership and we follow that leadership, we will glorify God. Now, as I said before, the world needs Christian leadership right now more than ever before. We have men actually stepping up and saying, hey, let's call a day of prayer. I'm talking congressmen. And they are so under attack because our society is saying, hold it. You're a politician. You have no right. You don't represent all of us. No, we're going to file a lawsuit to stop this thing. That's where we are today, folks. That's where we are today. But I guarantee you, if you will stand firm with God, He will stand firm with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Those were the words of Christ. Guess what? I stand on those words. Because I can't make it on my own. Just as we spoke this morning. What would I go back to? What would I go back to? I have nothing to go back to. I look at my life before Christ. What a mess. But I want to tell you something. I look back what has been since then. Has it been without faults? No. I stumbled many times. But the amazing thing is our God loves us so much that He says, Son, let me help you back up. And He dusts us off. And you know what? Yeah, sometimes He gives us that little pop on the backside to get our attention. Because He loves us. If your child does wrong and you never discipline that child has no respect for you. That child has no fear of you. That child will not honor you. Because my Heavenly Father does dust my britches every now and then. And says, you messed up, boy. But I still love you. Now let's get back on track. Then I can go forward in knowing that He does it because He loves me. I used to have a boss who constantly was just one of those people that just loved to nag about everything. A micromanager, Didn't matter what you did or how much you did it, it was always wrong. Don't you love working for that kind of person? No. None of us do. You actually get up every morning, your day starts out good, and then you have to get in the car to go to work. And it goes downhill from there. And every day, you walk in and you think, Lord, I don't know how much more of this I can handle. And it's only by the Lord's grace that you can handle it. But sometimes we need to understand God has placed us there so that we can make a difference in that person. Doesn't always work. Does not always work. But guess what? You're still there serving the Lord for a reason. It may not work on that boss, but it may be working on that coworker who's watching how you react to that boss. I want to go back real quick and look at some of the verses we've read. Folks, in our society today, I've said it again and again, we need leadership, Christian leadership. In verse 1, we saw that when Moses delayed in coming down off the mountain, the people began to act in an improper way. They got restless, and they started thinking about, well, what will we do? Well, we'll make a new God. We'll make a new God. If godly leadership is not present in our society, the people will go astray. We're seeing it every day. We're seeing it in our politics. We're seeing it in the world. And what they will do is they will begin to lean onto those things which they have done in the past. Just as it was spoken. Peter, are you going to leave me? What would I go back to? Well, you know what? For those who do leave, for those who do leave the Lord or pull away, we go back to that thing we know the most. Folks, if you fill your body, your mind, and your spirit with this Word of God, that's going to be the thing you know the most. But the moment you walk away from it, I will guarantee you, your mind will be flooded with those thoughts, those perversions, those things which corrupted you before. Those things will take over in a very short time. It doesn't take a long time. In fact, it takes very little time at all. I spoke to you about Aaron. The people came to him. And come and let us make gods. I don't read anywhere in there where Aaron said, hey guys, come on, hold on. Give him a few more days. Let's call upon the name of the Lord. Let's refrain from this sin against God. I don't read that. What he did was he gave in to the people. Folks, I want to tell you something. You can go to a lot of good churches today where they are giving in to the people. These Chrislam denominations. These so-called Christian churches that are allowing the nation of Islam to come in and be a part of their services. Or to use their facilities for their services. Folks, it does not work. Light and dark cannot mix. Let's call it what it is. Doesn't work that way. And it's because they are going with the will of the people. Guess what? We cannot all gather together, hold hands, and sing Kumbaya and think that the world's going to be a better place. Because it is going to be a battle of God and Satan. And if you are not proclaiming Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're on the losing side. Let's make it very clear about that. In verse 4, and he received the goat from their hand, and he fashioned with an engraving tool a molded calf. You know, it's bad enough that the people went back on God. They turned their back on God. But what did they go to? A calf? A golden calf? That is the symbol of the people of Egypt. That is the God of Egypt. They're now going to follow the same God of the people who held them in captivity and made them slaves? What's wrong with us?
Isn't it the same way today? As I said, we turn away from God and we go back to those things which enslave us. It's the very same thing. We choose to go back to those things which held us prisoner for so many years. Verse 5 really bothers me. Because Aaron built an altar and made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." What Lord? What Lord are you going to worship? Because you've already made a false god here. And you're building an altar to that god. And you know what bothers me? It's the fact that even in this Bible, that's a capital L. That's a capital L. There is but one Lord. There is but one God with a big G. All the rest are little bitty G's. All right? He is God Almighty, the creator of the universe. But Aaron set it up, made the proclamation, "Tomorrow we're going to worship this thing." And they rose up early the next day, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down to drink and eat and rose up to play. Eat and drink and play. But now here's the point. They had the right offering. They just tried to offer it to the wrong god. So there was a part of them that was still confused. There was a part of them that still hung on to those things that they knew. Because they knew, well, we have to make an offering to our God. And at that time, yes, it was young bulls that they would sacrifice on the altar. And they would make peace offerings. But they did it to the wrong God. That is exactly what our society is doing today. They're taking what you already know, and they're trying to confuse you by just throwing a little bit of untruth into it. See, Satan doesn't have to defeat you. Satan does not have to get you to believe there is no God. All he has to do is confuse you about how to serve him. We serve a God that he's laid down the rules. But you know what? If I get you to believe that those rules don't apply to everybody, that you know what? It's okay if a man wants to marry a man and a woman wants to marry a woman. It's okay because, after all, they love each other. Isn't love good? Don't we serve a God of love? Folks, it's not okay. He made that very clear in his word. It's not okay. But if I can get you to believe that it's all right. And guess what? If I can get you to believe, if I'm a follower of Islam, and I can get you to believe we serve the same God. We serve the same God. Yeah. Yeah. We're all descendants of the same man. We serve the same God. No, we don't. Allah is not Jehovah. Let's make that very clear. In case you didn't hear that, Allah is not Jehovah. All right? Because they want to confuse you and get you to believe that, well, the Bible says this, but. Folks, the period at the end of the sentence may have been put in by man, but it was inspired by God. There is but one God. Period. Can we be honest with each other today? Actually, let's do this. Be honest with yourself today. How many golden calves do we bring to church with us every day? How many golden calves do we carry around? We're supposed to be followers of the Most High God, and we all carry one in with us. Maybe we have the golden calf that, well, I want to tell you right now, we were here when this church started, and I don't think that green carpet should have ever gone in there. That's a golden calf. Kill that thing! Slay it. Oh, I want to tell you something. We had down in Florida, my first church after I got saved, we had some golden calves hanging up in our old sanctuary. There were these huge colored glass, gaudy looking, ugly, ugly lamps that hung down from the sanctuary ceiling. They probably came from the 40s or 50s. They should have stopped at the 40s or 50s. But anyway, they were ugly. And the first thing you do when people walk in is they look at these lamps and go, oh my, those are different. Yeah. Folks, I want to tell you something. Those were golden calves. Because some of the pillars of the church bought them when they built that new sanctuary. And I know I said sanctuary because that's how it was. But you could not get rid of those. It was dark. It was had been turned into the children's church. The kids couldn't hardly see because it was so dark in there. We had to put extra lighting in, and you still couldn't hardly see. And when the idea came up to remove these golden calves, there was a threat that the whole family would move out. Because it was a sacred golden calf. So they backed down. My thought, open the door, God bless you. Hope you can find someplace else. Take your lights with you. But the point was, to them it was sacred. It was something that has been there since that church was built. Their granddaddy bought them lights. And he personally got up there and hung them. God has a sense of humor. Because when man tries to control something, God keeps getting in the way. One day our maintenance man was up there on a ladder cleaning these things. And one of them fell off. Praise God. And it fell off and it shattered into 1,000 pieces. And of course it was a Saturday and we were in there doing something else. And we came running in there, and he looks down, and he goes, that's one dead calf. I said, Bill, did you mean to do that? He said, no, I would never do that. But he said, I'm not sad it's gone. Well, you couldn't have just one light hanging there, so we had to take the other one down. Praise God. It was an accident, but those people were very upset. We offered to try to find them another one just like it, and we would give it to them. But we decided that since it was already down, we'd go ahead and put new lighting in there. Praise God, they were gaudy, ugly. They was nasty. These were things that you should have dug a deep hole and buried them. But nevertheless, at the time, maybe they were in style. Or maybe not. But they were probably cheap. That's what it was. But the thing is, it was their golden calf. We all have golden calves. It may be the way people dress. No. Oh, no. When you're in church, you have to look this way. No, you don't. Just be there. Be there. All right? Well, no. If I'm going to be there, this is the way it's going to be, or I won't be there long. Remember what I said about the other folks? If you're allowing something like that to prevent you from attending church, then you're coming to church for the wrong reason. Folks, let's face facts. Our pastor, even when he is in this church, he is not in control. Our pastor's wife is not in control. Do you hear what I'm saying? There is not one person in this church who's sitting here today who is in control. God alone is in control. And the only way we can be in control is to relinquish that control to God. When we allow God to be our leader, when we allow God to give us the leadership abilities to lead others, the day we start to believe it's on us is the day He removes us from that position. Because it's not about us. It's about God Almighty and Him alone. It is about this blood that was spilled on Calvary to save us. It is about the same blood that will be used to purify others. It's Him and Him alone. And we try to take away from that and make it something about us. We're building a calf. Taking the earrings off, taking the rings off, building that calf. It's going to be mine. Well, that church couldn't function without me. Leave and see how long they stay open without you. We have many, many fine men and women who have allowed a spirit of control, a golden calf, to have them leave a church because they were going to prove the church wrong. The church is still there and they aren't. And then they get someplace else and they say, you know, I wish I could come back. I miss that. I miss the preaching of the Word of God. Guess what? Get in the same car that you go into that other church, turn it a different direction and come to this one. But come back with the right spirit. And that is the spirit of, Lord, I will be obedient to You. I will serve You. I will allow You to tell me what to do. When we do that, we will allow God to make us the most that we can be. I've said it before. You know, if you get an opportunity to be the president, but God calls you to be a garbage man, don't stoop to being the president because it's beneath you. See, we can only do our best work when we're where God wants us and doing the very thing that God wants us to do. Well, I better get off that rabbit trail. I want you to look at for a second. Verse 7. It's when God was telling Moses, go, get down, for your people whom you brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Oh, let's stand here for a while. We live in a society where nothing's our fault. Yes, I know I did all those evil things that y'all said, but it's not my fault because my mama didn't hug me enough when I was a baby. Yes, I know I went in and I killed those 27 people. It's because my daddy left when I was 6 months old. Oh, please, get over yourself. Get over yourself. It's an excuse. I'm about to preach to myself on this one. I hate that. Whew. I just don't have the time. I'm too busy. Isn't it amazing how we have time for the things we like to do? I'm sorry. I'd love to help you, Pastor, but, well, I just got too much going on that day. And then you see them later on down at the lake. That was what you had going on? When your pastor calls on you and needs your help, that's what you had going on? Okay. Well, plans changed. Yes, they did. But it wasn't for the better. If your plans changed, you should have been where the pastor needed you. You know what? We're all guilty of it. We could all do more for this church. We could all do more for the kingdom of God. But we'd rather do what we want. You know the old saying, we all want to get to heaven, but nobody wants to die to get there. We all want the anointing of God. Woo! Get on me, Lord! But we don't want to have to kneel down and pray to get it. We don't want to have to miss a plate of food. We don't want to have to fast and pray and seek the Lord's guidance. We just want Him to pour it out on us. Well, that's because we're making choices. Hey, what's up, big man? Little guy. You know what, though? It's a choice. Every day we have to make the choice. We can continue to corrupt ourselves by our actions, by our deeds, by our choices. Or we can call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to do? Just like this message. Boy, I thought I knew what it was going to be about until I got home and went to praying about it. I could have come up with the sermon. It'd have said Tim Cooper. And maybe God might have touched it, but doubtful. Because if you don't seek His face and ask His guidance, you're not going to get anything out of it. And probably those who are hearing aren't going to get anything either. Now, you may not be getting anything out of this. But I tell you what, somebody is. You say, well, how can you be so sure? Because I prayed about it and God gave me this message. It may not be you. It may be somebody listening on the internet. But I want to tell you something. It indeed will be someone, because God's word does not return void. We live in a society where all we need to do is get a good lawyer and we can get off with anything. And all you have to do is watch the news right now and you're seeing that. Oh, it breaks my heart, people. It breaks my heart to see people who are doing such heinous crimes and society allows them to get by with it. But I will tell you this. As my pastor in Florida says, it will come out on wash day. There will be a day of reckoning and they will answer for it. We live in an evil society. You know, I think it's most amazing about this whole thing, all the scriptures we read, was the fact that God was ready to clean house and wipe them out, which is what they truly deserve. But I can see Moses as he got down on his knees and he bowed his head and he said, "No, Lord, no. Don't give the Egyptians reasons to talk. That you brought us out here in the desert to kill us. Your people." I love it when people twist the scriptures up. I don't. I'm just kidding. The Lord repented. That's the King James Version. The Lord repented. Does that mean the Lord sat down and prayed to himself for forgiveness? No. It means he changed his mind. Because there was one faithful man of God who stood in the gap and said, "Despite all they've done, Lord, please, please, Lord, spare them." You say, "But now hold on. We read on where they killed a bunch of them." Was the opportunity not given to stand for the Lord? Who will stand with the Lord? Who will stand for the Lord? And they continued to frolic and play. They chose that path. They chose that destruction. Folks, we cannot choose the way of the world and expect that God's wrath will not burn hot against us. Many think, well, look at the people who prosper and they're not serving the Lord. First off, get your eyes off them because you're looking at the things of this world. And I want to tell you something. You can have the biggest mansion, you can have the most money, and you can still be so miserable because you have that void in your heart that only Christ can fill. And that's why you have so many in Hollywood who bounce from spouse to spouse, bed to bed, and they're still not happy. Because they're trying to fill it with possessions. They're trying to fill it with things that do not matter. Are they under the leadership of Jesus Christ? No. They're under the leadership of the world that says, if you receive this, this, and this, you should be happy. And then they get those things and they find out it's not so. In verses 11 through 14, that's where we spoke of Moses interceding on our behalf. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's no greater intercessor than our precious Jesus Christ, who continues to this day to intercede on our behalf. Though the price was paid on Calvary when that blood was shed, he still intercedes on our behalf when we call upon His name and we ask forgiveness. You know, I know this is just something in my mind, but it helps me to try to understand a little better. Because I know there's so many times that I do things and I can almost see God going, all right, that's it. And be like, Lord steps in, Jesus steps in and says, hold up, Pops. He's ours. I know He's a mess, but I'm still working with Him. We got the Holy Spirit down there. We're working with Him. He's improved a lot. You should have seen what we had to start with. But He loves me. And my precious Jesus is interceding on my behalf because I was bought. He bought me. And the day that I called on His name, I was purchased. And when that happened, I became His property. Oh, there's times where I'm way over here and He's way over there. And sometimes He comes halfway to meet me because I can't hardly find my way back. And He calls out and He says, back this way, Tim. Turn around. You're going the wrong way. Because He loves me. He's the leader I want to be like. He's the one that I want to follow. The one who speaks to my spirit. The one who fulfills that yearning that's deep down inside of me. We search for all those things in life that make us happy. And we find that there's only one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Gosh, we're in the most blessed nation in the entire universe. World, whatever. But you know what? We are so blessed. And I'm not real sure that that's a hindrance because of our blessings. Because we seek after more and more. And when we do it, we receive less and less. But for those who have nothing, for those who have absolutely nothing, those are the same ones who call upon the name of the Lord and have the most, receive the most. We're not talking possessions, because that's not what they seek after. They seek after the presence of Jesus Christ. They seek after the presence of the Lord God Almighty, and they receive it. They don't let the things of the world get in their way. When I was in the Assemblies of God, and I was involved in a camping ministry called Royal Rangers. It's a Christian Boy Scouts, if you want to call it that. We had an actual training camp. One of our leaders actually went to Africa to do a training camp for the African men who were teaching the Royal Rangers in Africa. See, Royal Rangers is in 162 different countries. It's amazing. The thing that touched this leader was the fact that when we would have a meeting for the leaders of Royal Rangers in our district, which was from Pensacola, Florida, over to Tallahassee, you might get 15 men, even though there was probably 60 who were involved in Royal Rangers. He said that these men, many of them, would give up a week's wages to travel to be a part of this camp. And for most of them, they would travel over 2 days' distance just to be a part of this. I want you to hear that. Would you give up a week's worth of wages to go to a camp where you have to work, and that when you come out of that camp, it prepares you to continue to work and to give of yourself constantly? Would you do that? And would you travel 2 days? And many of them walked. Would you travel for 2 days by foot to do it? Folks, I hate to say it, but there's been times where I wake up a little bit late and I have to actually question, do I feel like going to church today?
Well, you know, I am running late, and it is so far away. I'm 10 minutes away. Cut me some slack. Come on. Oh, it's so far away. I'm being honest. I'm being a little transparent here. How about you? How many times have you missed church because you woke up and just didn't feel like going? Been there, done that. We all have. There's times that... Tim speaking? I ain't going. Y'all, some of you are probably here because you didn't know I was speaking, so get over it. But that's okay. But folks, the point I want to make, sacrifice is required in order to draw closer to God. As we draw closer to God, He builds our ability, our knowledge of who He is and what He wants in our life. When we allow that to work in our life and we take our focus off the things of this world and we start looking solely at Him, then we can be that man or woman of God that this world needs so badly. I want you to look real quick at verse 21. Moses said to Aaron, "What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them?" Ouch. Folks, don't believe for a second that as leader of a church, as a leader of children's church, as an usher, that God won't hold you accountable for what you do and say. When you are in a leadership position, you are held to a higher standard. You say, as an usher? As an usher. You say, well, why would that matter? Well, when you pick up that offering plate and you go to offer it around, and if somebody doesn't have it, if you went, what, you can't give nothing? God's going to hold you accountable. Now, that doesn't happen in this church. I can tell you that right now. But if it were, God would hold you accountable. If somebody walks in that door and you're standing there handing out bulletins, and you look at them like, that's the best you could wear today, God's going to hold you accountable. Folks, I want to tell you something. That doesn't happen in this church. I'll tell you it doesn't. Because these people have the philosophy, it is good to have you here. You're in the house of the Lord. Does that mean we don't think it? No, I'm not going about to say that. We're all guilty. I told you we have our own calves. But we need to kill that calf and lay it up on the altar. Kill that calf and lay it on the altar of God. And then when it's all burnt up, then we can crawl up on the altar and become that living sacrifice that we're supposed to be. It does take sacrifice. But you know what? We didn't have to die on the cross for it. I'm going to wind this down. Moses stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me." Are you on the Lord's side? You may say, "But Brother Tim, I'm only one person. What can I really do?" Let me tell you a story about one man. I recently read of a commercial airline pilot named Lane Guthrie, who on 1 August 1970, he made a decision. You see, all the major airlines, as the aircraft landed, they had what was considered consumed fuel, but they had an excess of it. And as they would take off for the next flight, they would hit a dump valve and it would dump that. So it would go into the atmosphere. It would go into the environment. The airlines officially claimed that the kerosene evaporated and it caused no damage to the environment. And many times, Guthrie himself knew that as much as 500 gallons of this would be dumped over his home airport of Miami per day.
500 gallons of this waste fuel. So when he hit his 30th anniversary as an airline pilot, he said, enough is enough. And as he began to take off, he made a call to the tower, and he said, need you to come out here and drain this excess waste fuel. Roger, follow procedures. Go ahead and take off. Negative. He made a decision at that point. He was not going to do it anymore. He knew it was harming the environment. He knew that it was not right. And he decided to take a stand. For the next 2 months, he refused to dump the waste fuel. Every time before he flew, he required them to come out and empty it. At the two-month mark, they fired him. They fired him. They let him go. There's only one little problem. By this time, all the other airline pilots realized someone finally took a stand. And they gathered around him and they said, no. We will not fly until you dump our fuel, our excess fuel. We will not take off until you dump this fuel. The airlines don't fly if the pilots don't make them go. After a short stint, they decided it was a losing proposition. They hired him back, and they started a new policy of draining the fuel when the plane lands. Why? Why did that happen? Because of one man. One man stood up. I think we're losing this. One man stood up to the airlines and to his conscience, and he made a decision, no more. Folks, he became a model of leadership by standing for what he knew was right. And I'm asking you to do the very same. I think it's back on again. Thank you. I'm asking you to do the very same thing this week. Make the decision to do the right thing. Make the decision to allow your conscience, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to do the right thing. Because when we do that, others who maybe perhaps say, you know, I wish somebody would do something like that. When they do, that other person may jump right on board behind you. Why? Why is it our society is in such a bad mess? Because there's no leaders who will stand up for what is right. There's no leadership. But you know what? We are the leadership. Call upon the name of the Lord. If you don't know Christ today, I'm asking you to call upon the name of Jesus Christ. Ask him to come into your life, forgive you of your sins. Know that he is the Son of God and that he laid upon a cross to die for us and that it is only through him that we may be saved. And when you do that, get into a God-fearing church. Get into a church that preaches the Word of God out of the Bible and make yourself available to God. Because I want to tell you something. There's no time limit. Oh, I've heard it said before where people say, well, we take our young men and women when they come into church and they want to serve, we put them on the pew for about a year and then we decide to use them. We don't have that much time. You know what? Yes. Mentor them. Nurture them. Teach them. Help them. But don't wait. There's too much work to be done and too few workers. The fields are white for harvest, but the workers are few. So just like Moses said, just like he said, whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me. So today I say to you, whoever is on the Lord's side, stand up for him this week. Stand up for him next week. Stand up for him the week after that. Let's just stand up for him. Let us be leaders of Christ. Let us be followers of Christ, allowing the Spirit of God to lead us in all that we do. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Go ahead and stand with me as we close out. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all those who are here today, for those who are listening on the radio or the internet. We ask, Lord, that you would just bless them. Father, guide us in all that we do. Help us to be a light in this dark world, that all the honor and the glory is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God bless you all.